This conference will now be recorded.
Welcome, everybody, to today's Performance Management Group call. Today's call topic is strategic planning, and we have North Sunflower Medical Center, the entire team, actually, in Ruleville, Mississippi, and Rhonda Barkis, who is the program specialist at the National Rural Health Resource Center, is going to be facilitating today's call. And she's been at the center for a few years, and she's been working on the Rural Hospital Performance Improvement, or the RHPI project, since 2010. And she developed and holds the Recommendation and Adoption Progress, the REP reporting, interviews with all of the hospitals post-project as well. So I'll turn it over to Rhonda to introduce today's speakers.
Okay, thanks, Leslie. Well, welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. As Leslie was saying, I get the chance to do a lot of the outcomes discussions and interviews with folks after about 9 months after a project is completed. And so I had the pleasure of talking to North Sunflower last month. And one of the things that we have discovered as we've done the wrap interviews is that most projects take really a year to 2 years to fully implement. So last month when I was speaking with North Sunflower, it was just so impressive and so amazing how much work had been done so quickly. So I'm just so thrilled that they've agreed to present on our call today and share a little bit about the project and some of the challenges they had, but then also some of the things that they have accomplished. So just to start off with some introductions, we have four folks joining us from North Sunflower. First is Wayne Walters, who is the CEO administrator. He completed his Master's of Business Administration from MillSAP and has served in healthcare since 1991. He started off as an orderly while in college and has served in many different roles in healthcare, obviously. He's a firm believer in the servant leadership and loves improving healthcare processes for patients and for staff. Also joining us is Sam Miller, who is the COO, who was born in Yazoo City, Mississippi, and after graduating from high school, moved to Birmingham, Alabama, and attended college at both the University of Alabama in Birmingham and Samford University, completing both programs and obtaining a paramedic diploma and a BS in accounting, respectively. During this time, he worked as a lieutenant firefighter paramedic for the city of Hoover. Sam started working with North Sunflower in 2001 as the administrator of the Walter B. Crook Nursing Facility and Emergency Room Nurse. He served as education director, risk manager, quality assurance director, and compliance officer until 2005 when he was promoted to COO. While working at North Sunflower, he completed his RN-BSN program from Delta State University and then went on to complete the Master of Science at Delta State University also. Sam, you have worn a lot of hats, I have to say. And then we've got Joni Perkins, who is the Chief Development Officer. Joni has worked in healthcare management for 27 years. Her focus for the past 15 years has been specifically with rural health, specializing in rural health clinics and critical access hospitals. In 1987, she formed JP Consulting Incorporated and specialized in outpatient billing and clinic setup. As the need for rural consulting grew, she divided the business off and is now the principal consultant for JP Consulting, working with clinics and critical access hospitals nationwide. She has presented on multiple subjects at a number of national conferences. She's past president of the Mississippi Rural Health Association and has established a series of workshops for rural health clinics across the state of Mississippi. And then finally, we have Carmen Oguz. Carmen, who serves as Vice President of Service Line Development. Carmen has worked in healthcare for 20 years, steadily increasing responsibility from medical records, accounts payable, marketing, human resources, rehab and rehab management, consulting, and service line development. The last 10 years has been focused on critical access hospitals. And also 6 years of that has included teaching experience at an accredited athletic training program at a state university, at a local university. In 2013, Carmen began the accreditation process for developing the physical therapist assistance program at a local community college. In 2006, she obtained 2 national wound certifications and began her journey to obtain her doctorate degree in physical therapy. Since then, she has worked with the development of the outpatient wound care program and the design and the development of a wellness center that was constructed soon after. In 2011, the wellness center opened, and in 2013, she was instrumental in adding outpatient wound clinic, an outpatient orthopedic clinic, and an outpatient infusion service. So those are our 4 folks from North Sunflower who will be presenting today. The consultant on this project was Brian Havala. He's not able to join us, but he is a managing director of Stroud Water. So again, thanks to everybody for being on this call. So before we start talking specifically about the RHPI project, I was wondering if you all could talk a little bit about the challenges that rural health or rural hospitals are facing regarding strategic planning specifically, and how you're preparing for healthcare reform. And I don't know, Wayne, would you be willing to start us off? Although I understand your voice is pretty limited today.
Yeah, and excuse my voice if I get a little crackly. We're typical rural hospital, or, you know, I've been at a big hospital too, and typical for a big hospital, you get into the habit of putting out fires a lot and not stepping back and making the plans you need to. A little story I have about that is that when I was a kid, my mom would put notes in front of the bathroom, in front of the toilet, and there's a list of 25 things on there. And one of the items on that list I still remember today, because, you know, when you sit in front of something every day, you can't tend to memorize it. But one of the ones on there was, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And so I'm a big believer in planning. But sometimes, as you can tell from the bios here, we have a bunch of doers here. We have a bunch of people that will just get out there and get to work. And we just needed to step back. Our strategic plan that was developed 5 years previous had expired. I was coming in as a new CEO. And so it was a perfect timing for us to sit down and put something together. It is very hard, especially as a new CEO coming in. You want to hear what all is going on, and there's so much that has been done here already. We needed somebody that would just sit us down and get this done. And so I think the biggest thing is probably typical with a lot of people is just, you got so much going on, you don't take the time sometimes to sit back and plan. So that was a good thing for us. And Brian, you know, he worked out real well for us. And he really made us focus, put the cell phones away. And because, you know, with cell phones and everything now, it seems like, you know, that's all we're doing. And that's what makes one of the things that makes our hospital special and it come out during this planning stage is that we have a new battle cry now, and we didn't really have a name for it before, but now we call it the Sunflower Way, and that's why we kind of named this strategic plan the Sunflower Way, and we're taking that on and using that for advertising and different things as well, because any kind of problem or any kind of fire that's brought to us, it is put out, and it is addressed and researched. And what makes this team special is especially these 3 people that are on here today. They don't just put out the fire, but they step back and write a process and write a policy or something that will affect that change going forward. And that's what this strategic plan does for us, is gives us the plan to be able to look at that each time we step back, and every Monday when we have our roundtable meeting.
Okay. You know, the thing that really struck me, Wayne, when you were talking is it's like your mother really kind of set you up to be a CEO, didn't she? By teaching you really, really early that planning is important, and it really set the tone for everything. And, you know, it's funny because you were talking about that you all have worked very hard not just to put out the fires. And I was looking back on Sam's bio, and he was a firefighter. And so certainly one of the things for successful firefighters is all the preparation that's done ahead of time and not just waiting till things fall apart. So it sounds like you have put together the perfect team for this.
Yeah, it truly is. I mean, I stepped into a great team, Sam, as you mentioned that, his firefighter does go a lot with his personality, and he can put out fires, and Joni can start them. But Joni has a great ability. She probably has better than all of us here, to actually putting down the process. We sometimes, fell short of that. Sam and I do, but Joni fills in there. And then one thing I want to mention about Carmen that she didn't, before I quit speaking because of my voice, but Carmen was actually born in this hospital. And that's why, everybody's probably wondering, how is this small hospital able to recruit such talent that we have on this team? And it is truly amazing. And there's a lot of rural hospitals out there that don't have the talent that we have in this organization. And it's because of people like all three of these and that have made a commitment to this organization.
Right. Well, when we talk about your outcomes in just a moment, it's very clear that there's an awful lot of commitment. So it sounds like the catalyst then for the RHPI project was the five-year plan had expired and then you had come on as CEO, so it was a good time for this. Was there anything else that was going on at North Sunflower that was the catalyst for you all deciding to do a strategic plan?
Wayne being here, this is Joni speaking, Leslie. Wayne being here was a big reason too. A change in the guard, a change in the way we look at things. We knew we were different here, but we didn't know what to call it, and that's something that the plan did really well. The Sunflower Way, we all use it every day now. We were up for the funding cycle, and we always participate in RHPI, and we were hopeful for some help to get this project moving. As you know, dollars are tight in critical access hospitals, so the funding cycle, we didn't hesitate when we made our choices on what we needed to do.
So can any of y'all, whoever wants to jump in from North Sunflower, talk a little bit about the consulting process? The first time Brian came in, what was the prep work that was done ahead of time? What did the process look like? What happened?
This is Joni again. I think I'll be taking these questions on this section, but anybody chime in, please. But one thing that Wayne did that we hadn't done before was get us off site to do this strategic planning. He also brought in the board and physician representation, and got a lot of the department managers. There were, Wayne, how many people were involved?
About 40
people involved in strategic planning. That's pretty unheard of in my experience. They're usually not that large. Brian, it seemed that our personalities all jive together very well. We've worked with Stroudwater a lot, and I didn't know Brian real well before we started, but he was a good fit for the Sunflower Way. He helped us identify it. The prep work, we struggled a little bit getting all the data that he needed. I came down to last minute. As Wayne said, we're all very, very busy, as everybody on the call is, I'm certain. Being able to get them the amount of data that they needed was a little bit of a hardship for us, but we did eventually get it his way, maybe a little later than he wanted, but we got it there. And then when he came on site, like Wayne said, put away the cell phones. Nobody bring your pen top. Nobody bring your iPads. You are to be focused. And so administration gave that message, And that's what we got. We're 40 focused individuals for the entire strategic planning process.
We're blessed with a good mother here, too. She calls herself our mother, but Miss Britt, her title is our administrative assistant, but she's much more than that. She's part of the executive team, which is probably a little unusual, but she got all that. She played a big part in, you know, getting us off site and making sure that we stayed on task with all that, and making sure that everybody showed up, and getting the board members to show up and the doctor to show up, because she has a big influence on making those things happen.
And see, what you didn't say, and what I would have said was probably the most important thing, they fed us like you couldn't believe.
Yeah.
She made homemade banana pudding, and
yes,
it was crazy calories in those meetings. But it made it enjoyable, and so much of the culture in the South is over food and socializing and networking, that it was important that we took those breaks and were able to socialize with people that we maybe don't work with every day in our roles here at the hospital.
So I have a question. You're right, it is kind of unusual for 40 folks to go off site to do this. Why did y'all decide that? I mean, it's really amazing to be able to, number one, pull that many people together, but what an incredible opportunity for that big of a leadership team. So what was behind that decision?
Well, the fact that we're all, you know, it used to be before iPhones come out, you called it, you know, crackberries, but now as the phones become our crack phones, I guess you call it, you know, it seems like we're almost addicted to every time that thing buzzes or whatever, we're looking at it and see what new emails come or something. So we knew that we had to get away from the day-to-day things in order to really get our minds broad, you know, the broad thinking going. So.
And I just would add to Wayne, this is Joni. I think that there were people that participated in the strategic planning that probably hadn't had an opportunity like that before, like our, I'll just bring someone up that comes to mind, our purchasing director. She probably hadn't been part of a strategic planning for a hospital before. So we were able to do it. And I think the ones that were involved that hadn't done it before learned a lot, and they learned a lot about Wayne's leadership and about how the organization was going to move forward with their input. So I think the volume of people attending was important.
Leslie, yeah. Hey, this is Sam. I wanted to add a little something to that. That the focus that Wayne put on it by pulling us away, everyone in the organization from this group down really consider themselves a hands-on working manager. And you know, there are some things naturally they're delegated or handed off, but to have it on site, I think Wayne realized that what was going to happen is the exact thing. We're going to be pulled away, interrupted. When we moved it off site, it put a total emphasis on the focus that this is important. This, and he said that repeatedly. And pulling us off site just a short distance kind of confirm that, guys, this is important enough. I'm pulling you away. Let's focus on this. And I think it made all the difference in the world.
So it sounds like it ended up being an opportunity, not just for the collaboration, but for folks to learn a lot, but then also to get more buy-in from a lot more people.
Exactly.
Good. So you all went outside and you did your retreat, and then from that I assume you developed your strategic plan, and then what? If y'all would say a little bit, if you would, about what kinds of things you all decided to focus on, what did you decide to do, and then how did you really begin to implement some of that?
I'll just speak to the five, and then I'll let Sam take over from here. The group said it was important that we had, like, the pillar suitors. We wanted our pillars, and we named our pillars, and we named what they meant to us, and our pillars were people, quality, community, finance, and growth. So we used a similar pillar standard, and that's what Brian led us through and developed our action plan. And then, Sam, this one's yours. You can tell them what we did.
Speaking specifically about... One of the strategies... one of the big things that popped up, and I want to talk about as far as the an emphasis in the building to have a process in place that actively looked at, hospitals are great at collecting data. And Wayne said this before, and others have, but using it to find out how do you make an improvement. One of the things that we did was develop strategies that were hands-on strategies with, I'll give you an example, HCAHPS scores are a great one. I think it's one of our questions. There was a big disparity between what we were hearing in the community, what we were hearing from the patients, and what was actively being put on those scores. So we sat down and took a look at it and said, why? We realized that a lot of our patient population were most likely not the individuals filling out the HCAHPS, that we were dealing with families and friends and relatives and extended families, and we realized that. But we thought, okay, are we actively managing this process in any way, or are we just letting it kind of happen? Because we were hearing that we were giving good care. We were hearing that the response times from call buttons were not that bad. We were asking questions. But then we developed a process, mainly Wayne. We started an administrative rounding team that visits every admission, and then a lot of times we end up following up that included administration, our medical review officer, who's also the chief of medical staff, Dr. Frothingham. We have a pharmacist involved, the DON or chief nursing officers there. I will attend all of them, and we make sure that we walk in the door, introduce ourselves, and we develop that meeting specifically around what HCAHPS is asking, and we ask questions, and we do follow-ups on those to find out if we're doing that. And we're trying to actively take the process that we did with this and use it on a day-to-day basis as part of our strategic plan. And that's just one way that we're doing it. And it has worked. The patients, the HCAHPS scores are coming up. But more importantly, and I say that with all respect to HCAHPS and what they're trying to do, but more importantly, we get immediate feedback from our patients. Luckily and very pleasingly to us, most of the time they're very satisfied. But they know that we care. They know they can pick the phone up. They know they can ask for one or two individuals if they have a problem. And a lot of times we're able to correct those immediately. For instance, with a diet. A patient doesn't like their diet. It happened yesterday. And I left the room, through the rounding, went to the dietitian. She responded within 15 minutes and discussed the patient's diet with them. Right there. So I think that's one important process to us that came directly out of this strategic planning session that was put into action. So,
I'll just add one thing here. North Sunflower Medical Center has the highest patient satisfaction scores in the state, and we have for some time now. But that's they're living on that bubble. We have to stay a step ahead in order to keep our satisfaction scores where we want them. So that administrative rounding from a very high level has changed a lot of people's opinions of the hospital as soon as they get admitted. So that was a real positive. And I'm looking forward, HCAHPS are so far delayed in getting reported to see, in 12 months from now what our HCAHPS will be with that.
I am too, Joni. And to add a little more to that, this is a piece that came directly out of strategic planning. The administrative rounding, and where Wayne brought a good bit to the table from a larger organization, was it's tied directly to a group that I'll discuss maybe in a little bit about a round table, the way we manage a group that came out of nursing, a weekly group in nursing that came directly out of what was happening as part of this strategic plan. What we were hearing from the patients, and all that communication tied in a circular motion. So you have you're no longer reactive. Nursing right now, it took a period of 6 to 8 months, but they started realizing that they were making differences in the way that they were flowing, the way that nurses were caring. We stopped and said, hey, are we doing this the way we've always done it? Are we doing it the way that works for us? And we found out that we found a better way. So it opened up a lot of avenues of positive change to make us a proactive organization. I guess is what I'm getting at, Leslie.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing over and over again is the proactivity, and also like with HCAP, being able to address issues in real time and not wait until the scores are in, and then there's nothing you can do to impact that. So.
And Leslie, I will add one more thing to that. What we did was look at the HCAP surveys, and we started asking those questions of our patients while they were here so that that question wouldn't sound new to them.
Yeah.
Even from the housekeeping people to the dietitians to the nursing staff to the physicians, everybody started asking those same kinds of questions. That was a good takeaway from Brian, too.
Absolutely.
That was me, too.
Yeah. So it sounds like one of the pillars that you all have really addressed has been around patient satisfaction, patient experience. What about some of the other pillars? I know, I guess I'm wondering, Carmen, do you have anything you'd like to share as far as around service line or service line development as a result?
I do, and I see we're probably moving on into another area talking about the outcomes. With customer service and patient satisfaction and HCAP scores going hand in hand, we're all doing that in an effort to increase our volumes. And the way I see it, there are basically two ways to do that. We want to take our existing customers and have them to continue to return for whatever service lines we have to offer. But beyond that, in order to gain new customers, we have to develop new service lines. And I guess that's why I'm going to be more qualified to speak on the new services that we have developed. For the past couple of years, we had been tossing and interviewing different wound care companies around, and we finally settled on one company that we thought was more focused and could relate to critical access hospitals. We liked their model and what they brought to the table in terms of understanding how critical access hospitals operate. And with that, we got our outpatient wound clinic off the ground nearly a year ago. That was in March 2013. And even a year to the day, we're continuing to tweak QA and PI measures, both locally and through the corporate contracted wound care company, to improve what we can, the quality of services there. And we just want to follow that up with quality charting methods as well. And then that just transpired into the outpatient orthopedic services. We had a local orthopedic surgeon who began to do a couple of surgeries here, and then we got him on our outpatient roll one day a week, and that has just bloomed, not only in terms of the number of inpatient procedures and outpatient surgical procedures, but he has really increased our outpatient rehabilitation services, I would say 100 to 200%. That's really booming, that area of outpatient rehab, but the monthly ortho numbers are ever increasing, and that's only been in place for roughly 8 months. And then hot on the heels of the wound care and the outpatient orthopedic clinics, we developed an outpatient infusion program. And that's, I think we billed our first outpatient infusion encounter in July 2013. And January and February are on track to nearly double from one another, and we haven't even been open for a year. So we're doing our best to, number one, keep the customers that we have coming back, and we do want to gain new customers with the advent of new service lines. And that's just really one thing that Brian helped us bring out in the and the strategic plan were ways to increase volume. So we appreciated that.
What's really striking is how broad this whole project is, and it touches so many different aspects of the hospital, not just one area.
One of the other pillars I know that you all mentioned was around quality. What kinds of things are going on for you all there?
I can speak to that, too, because many years ago, the hospital had undergone hospital-wide customer service training, and that really took off within our organization, and we've won several national awards for customer service. And I'm glancing up onto the wall of our conference room. Another one is North Sunflower Medical Center, named top 40 cleanest hospitals among 5,500 hospitals in the United States. But it's our cleanliness and our customer service that has brought us a really long way. So we realized that we didn't need to fall short. Like Joni said, we've set the bar high for ourselves and for the nation and for the community. So we just really had to revisit where we were with customer service. So following Brian's visit, I started searching for some organizations or some people who could lead us through hospital-wide customer service training again. I put them through many, many phone call and email interviews.
She did.
Before I even brought the top three contenders to our administrative roundtable group. And I asked them to present a webinar, or, in other words, tell us why they were the customer service trainers for us. And I think that was a really good way to see who was going to be the best fit for our organization. And we wound up choosing a guy who drove from the Nashville, Tennessee area. And his customer service program was, it had four levels. And the first level of training involved all of the leaders. And then the second level of training involved all the employees, and multiple employee-based sessions were held throughout the week, several throughout the day, several throughout the week. And then the third facet of his program called for the same leadership team to follow up and identify ways that we could continue to implement what we had discussed the entire week. And some of the things that we were encouraged to do were to write thank you notes to friends and coworkers, and just make sure everybody knew that they were appreciated, because we've got everyone's got a hand in this. And the fourth facet of the customer service training session was to have a method to continue to remind people on a weekly basis of how important it was to live the same standards that we had just learned about over the past week. And every week we rotate through a new standard, and there are seven standards, and a couple of them are have a positive attitude, develop service recovery, create a team spirit. And we put these little pieces of paper on brightly colored poster board, and we were not afraid to let the public see them. These poster board standards are displayed in public places at nurses' stations. And, you know, the customers and their family members are free to ask us about those. And we've also done another thing. We've got a fabulous one-call service line here where anybody can call in, physicians, their nurses, and they can schedule any surgery or test or anything that they need. But what we did was, even as busy as our one-call service line is, we put up posters around the facility that encouraged anybody, if they had a question, a comment, or concern, that they should call that that one call number. I guess it could be a complaint hotline, if you will. But after about 3 months of implementing that and having these signs all around the hospital, I think we had a meeting Monday, and it said only one call has been received in the past, you know, several months on this line. And you know, it's out there for anybody to use. And like Sam mentioned earlier, we're proactive. We jump on these issues, and, you know, you don't let, it's like a wound. I'm in wound care. I'll use this analogy. You don't let a wound fester, and complaints can cause deep wounds if they're not treated immediately. So I think we're on the right track with revamping our customer service standards. And I did implore the man whom we chose to entitle his customer service training program The Sunflower Way. And from there, you know, we've used The Sunflower Way in nearly everything that we've done over the past year.
Wow, that's fabulous. You know, and so one of the things that really is very striking, Carmen, is you're describing also so many ways that the strategic plan was really pushed down to frontline staff. So it wasn't just the leadership trying to implement this. It was every single level of the organization who had a hand in making it successful.
You're exactly right. And we were encouraged to identify champions within the departments and the organization to help follow up with especially these customer service standards. So the bottom line is everybody was made accountable from the top down. Everybody was given a chance to become involved. They were encouraged to be involved and ultimately were held accountable for their involvement.
And can you say a little bit about the accountability? Because for a lot of hospitals, big and small, that is a really difficult issue, holding people accountable. So can you guys say a little bit about how you did that?
I think one of the good ways, and I'll let Sam speak, this is Joni, we do a weekly round table meeting with hospital leadership. Sometimes those can be difficult, but we are held accountable. You know, the strategic plan is there. We're held accountable to the plan. We have I think one thing that I like best about the plan is that it's real, it's attainable, and it's all things that we're all aware are going on and working on. So the accountability is held. Wayne holds the hospital leadership accountable for the actions going on in our areas that we're responsible for, and that in turn filters right down to our direct reports and then their direct reports. So that's how I see our accountability working in this organization. Sam?
Yeah, I agree. And the roundtables has been a wonderful communication tool, and it does hold accountability at all levels. One of the other things, too, is what I guess I'd call it the Sunflower Way, or what makes North Sunflower magic, is that it's pretty much required of leadership to ask for, promote, and practice buy-in. Without the buy-in, if an employee would come to work for North Sunflower that, for instance, just wanted to make their time and leave and didn't buy into the small things that make it work, they would be miserable here. And some of the small things, I mean, we have an unwritten rule about you never point and click when somebody asks you where a department or a room is. We stop what we're doing and walk them around to it. Doesn't happen 100% of the time, I'm sure, but it's in the little things. And in going back to what Joni said about accountability, that filters down with our belief that a majority of our problems can be corrected with an educational approach. It's not I've got a problem or you've got a problem. It's we've got something we need to work on. Instead of going and saying, you know, you did this wrong, even if that's the case, we approach it like we got an issue here. Can we do it better? That is the only way that we can maintain that level of buy-in. So I think with us, every issue starts with a review. They all have a education component, and it's not certainly not a top-down model of hierarchy, and it flows both ways with us.
And I would say one more thing to buy-in, and it's real evident, Leslie, the buy-in at this organization. We have a 100% participation rate in our North Sunflower Medical Foundation giving by the employees, and that's giving at a recommended level. So every pay period, part of the paychecks of the people of this organization, of every person, is going to the North Sunflower Medical Foundation. And that foundation is in existence to ensure the sustainability of this organization. So,
yeah, that's really unheard of. That's amazing.
Now, that's great buy-in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Leslie,
yes,
I want to say one last thing. When I said it flows both ways, we also ask, we're accountable. Also, through our the needs of those that we serve. We don't feel like we run things. We don't feel like we certainly manage things. But what I mean is that all of the hierarchy of this organization are hands-on, boots on the ground. We don't sit behind a desk a lot. So we feel accountable to those that we serve, and that would be the people that we, quote, manage or help get things done. I think that's a key component also. It's a feeling that we've had. The strategic plan, if anything, kind of brought that to light and helped us to organize that thought. So we feel accountable to everybody in this organization.
So the next question I wanted to ask about, and we've already covered this in a lot of different ways, but is there anything else around as far as outcomes or, you know, kind of that measurable data, the outcomes that you guys want to take a minute and share more about? Because I know we've talked about HCAP, we've talked about some of the different volumes and the changes in volumes. Anything else?
Well, you know, cash is king. This is Joni. Cash is king. increased receivables is always increased cash is what we want. We had a very, very definite number going into the strategic planning where we want. So we monitor that pretty much every month without fail. And it's a critical access hospital, so they're not going to make a profit every month. That's not going to happen. It's real world. We're good to break even some months. But it's the outside entities, the departments that Carmen's running, the rural health clinic, the eye station. We have to make sure those are as profitable as possible so that they can carry the hospital along. And I think I can certainly speak for the rural health clinic because that's sort of my responsibility, but we're having great outcomes there and we're meeting our demand for cash. Exciting talking about outcomes too is a grant that the Rural Health Clinic is participating in. The governor assigned, really requested that the clinic participate in the grant. He was born in Sunflower County and he has a special feeling for Sunflower County, and we were lucky enough to participate, but we're really focused on diabetes outcomes now, and we have the huge advantage of working with the University of Mississippi Medical Center. General Electric is bringing things to the table. C-Spire. The partners in the grant are making it possible for the patients in the rural Mississippi Delta to have tablets and software that's going to help them manage their diabetes so much better, and we're real excited about those outcomes. The last thing I want to speak on is our community involvement, because we wouldn't be the hospital that we are if we didn't pay attention to our surroundings. The hospital has been extremely involved with the community. Our latest project is a Kaboom Playground grant that we're working with the city of Ruleville on in Good Neighbor Pharmacy. We had our kickoff meeting here last week, and the outcome of that will be April 12th. Anyone's welcome to come. There will be a playground where there was none before in an area of our town that didn't have any. So that's an outcome.
Wow. You all do an amazing job of really taking advantage of every resource. It sounds like that's available. That's wonderful.
We have to.
Yeah, we do. That was well put by Joni. Leslie, I was going to mention, we, as far as a QI program, you know, we like other facilities, have always had a QI program. We were measuring. It's tied to regulatory measurements. And I guess in a very brief kind of way, I wanted to say that it has evolved and it did change. It changed a lot because of this plan. And what happened was, instead of we stopped and we looked and we said, okay, here's what we're measuring now. Some things we got to measure. Obviously, it comes. They're very important. Blood utilization. We've measured it forever, but we tied all of that to the regulatory things that we have to measure. We certainly do. But then we kind of made it a little more kind of a living, breathing, turned it from a static outcome to a very dynamic document by adding to that customer service. Joni's monitoring the times of the total times in the clinic. In the ER, we monitor. We're able to do this. bipolar today, we monitor how long does it take the physician to get there, how long does it take the nurse to respond, rooms, the cleanliness of the rooms because they're checked randomly. Those are just little pieces that we tied. So it's returned QI from that static, okay, let's collect this data, use this strategic process to actually made it a, I consider it a living, breathing entity now on a daily basis, I guess is what I really want to say. We have numbers, but those numbers, certainly want a lot of those numbers to improve. One thing Joni said, and Mr. Marlowe said it, unfortunately, healthcare is a business that we have to. So the service lines that are added, sure, they're monitored very closely to make sure that we can sustain them because, but there's a lot of work on the front end of those, pro forma statements, billing, coding, to find out if before we start those, if we're going to be able to sustain them financially. And obviously, it's very important. I do know there are patients I can think of right now that were traveling 100 miles to get IVs. They're here now. They travel 5 miles. And that's very satisfying. That was part of our QI process. Wow.
Well, yes, and I think it's just well put, too, about the sustainability, that it takes a lot of planning, a lot of paying attention to things. And so that actually goes well into the next question, that is about sustaining some of these gains. You know, one of the things that you all mentioned was the having the Sunflower Way, which means that now it's part of your culture, which is does make it more sustainable. In addition, you mentioned the Leadership Roundtable. So, other thoughts about other ways that you all are sustaining some of these gains?
Well, just the meetings that begin every Monday afternoon with the roundtable group, and then that translates into monthly departmental meetings and either monthly or quarterly. Well, those are the department head meetings, and then the intra-departmental meetings, and everybody gets informed and everybody is encouraged to have a say as well. So that ties back into the buy-in of the organization, just simply put.
And I mean, it is healthcare and healthcare is a business. So we always have to work smarter. We always have to try to stay one step ahead of whatever CMS is doing to, you know, they've got to pay for these debt ceilings. They've got to pay for things. So we have to, when we plan, we have to be as up-to-date as we can before we take on any new roles. And I would say sustaining a healthcare organization right now is probably one of the hardest jobs in the world because of all the regulatory changes that go on.
Mm-hmm.
But we certainly give it the old college try.
So what are some of the recommendations you have for other rural hospitals who are thinking about really taking on the strategic plan or just needing to maybe even breathe new life into the strategic plan that they already have?
Yeah, this is Joni, and I'll speak, and then I know Sam has some to say. Number one, I think one of some of the lessons that we learned from this, take it off site.
Yes.
Get the people, not just the regular people who get to attend what other people conceive as fun meetings, and get to do a lot of the stuff, get everybody that you can and can afford to involved, because we heard a lot of really good ideas from lots of people in that meeting. Make sure that your partner fits, your strategic planning partner can't be, you know, we had great candidates, two great to choose from, two that I've used in several other areas, but one fit and one didn't. So be careful in your due diligence and make sure that that person fits for you in your planning process. And then I guess my third piece of advice is don't let the strategic plan become a piece of paper that's going to gather dust. Make it a living document, something that the organization has to hold up and be accountable for.
That's a great segue. You know what? That living, breathing entity I keep bringing about is, in my opinion, one of the very reasons why we feel a good level of success with strategic planning. I think all of us have our ideas. Some of those we will stand by to the bitter end, whether they're right or wrong. And I think I would bring to the table a sense of true commitment from those who are going to be involved of, I don't really want to use the cliche, but we were asked to think out of the box, to look at what we're doing right, but also be willing to look at what we've been doing that we've been doing forever and with the same outcomes. And open-mindedness, I think, is the entire thing, to be able to sit there and be willing to admit that, you know, maybe we don't do this as well as it can be done. For us, I think the process was a survival. We're very humbled in our area, and we're very respectful of the fact that we have a lot of good competition around us. We're ever mindful of that. We're very respectful to that, to the facilities around us providing care also. When the strategic plan, we walked in the door, I think we were prepped ahead of time to be willing to be open-minded, to also realize it's okay to say something, whether it's popular or not. And put that down. Let's take a hard look at it. Brian certainly facilitated that process as well as I think anyone could. And then when to kind of summarize my thought of it, don't let it collect dust. Just like Joni said, you got to make it something that lives, that evolves, changes. And that's definitely part of what's happened with us.
And I think having our kind of our title theme, The Sunflower Way, was extremely helpful too, because all of us know what we're talking about then, and we all described it differently. I'm not going to say what I said to describe it because I used a cuss word in there. It's just moving as fast as you can, doing as much as you can, you know, the best that you can, and always looking for that other opportunity. And it's not at the expense of the patients. I mean, it's several statements to describe the Sunflower Way, but those of us who work at North Sunflower, we know what it is.
Yeah. So I guess my last question is, if you were to do the RHPI project all over again, is there anything you would do differently?
Gosh, we've had pretty good outcomes. I think we went through the due diligence very well, and that speaks a lot to your team there. You really helped lead us through that. And I think my personal opinion, because I've done several of these projects with not only this hospital but others, that is a value in itself, to have you guys help lead us in our selection process. So I think we made a good selection. I think we chose the right candidate. I think we had the right number of people involved. Two others, they're nodding their heads.
We agree.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Would we do anything in that respect differently, you guys? I think we were well pleased with that.
I do too.
No, and I think, you know, as long as you're proactive, that beats being reactive any day of the week. And healthcare is like a game of golf. It can humble you in a heartbeat. And the minute that you think you've gotten all the problems solved and you just can kick back and relax, that's the minute that you've opened yourself up for some issues. So, you know, we just have to be flexible and prepare for what comes. Don't just be ready. Prepare yourself for what may come.
Well, and I think that for our organization, one of the lessons learned is that having gone to a new system, we've left our legacy system, and there were several super users of that system. Moving on to a new system, it was a little more difficult to find that one right person or right group of people that could pull the data we needed, especially the financial data that we needed in the format that Brian wanted it. So that is something that we probably took away that we could have done better and really need to focus some attention on getting some of those super users of that financial piece.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much. This has been wonderful information, a lot of information, a lot of good experiences and wisdom to share. Now, you guys have to tell me the truth, though. Now, does Wayne have a list of 25 things in every bathroom in the hospital like his mama did?
He put them up in the bathrooms. It's not 25, but he has the sink put up in the bathroom, T-H-I-N-K, and under each letter there's a word. He's put things up in the bathroom, yes.
True.
There you go, another best practice for anybody on the call.
Yeah.
So I guess, Leslie, I think we're finished here. I just want to open it up. I guess we have a couple minutes if there are any questions. So I'll pass it back to you, Leslie.
Okay, so that
yeah,
was...
Sorry.
My apologies. I called you Leslie the whole time. Is this Bethany I was
That's
speaking?
Okay. No, it's Rhonda. That's okay.
Rhonda,
I knew
I'm
you
sorry,
were,
Rhonda.
I knew
good.
What you were
hi,
talking about. I answered to
it. This is Bethany, though. I've been listening, and I just want to say it's just so exciting to hear all the great work, all the great outcomes, that's and all the great activities at North Sunflower. And I, from a program management perspective, this is the type of project we love to support. The one thing that North Sunflower does so well is just taking just a little resource and then just really utilizing it so effective, so it then just blossoms into so many other things. And you've done that before. I know you do that with your other grants and programs that you work within. And Joni, I know we talked while we were at the Policy Institute that really so important for state representatives, your senators, to really know and to understand that just a little bit of resource, look what all can happen versus not having it. And just a job well done, and congratulations. And Rhonda, I'm sorry. I just couldn't help myself. I was really trying to be quiet. It was your fault.
Thank you.
So.
Thanks, Bethany.
That's okay.
Well, if we have no other questions, then thank you all for participating, and I hope you have a great day. The next RHPI event we have coming up is an NBQIP update on Phase 3 with Paul Moore from the Office of Rural Health Policy, and that's next Wednesday, February 26th at 11 a.m., and you can register for that one on our website. So thanks, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Have a good weekend.
Yes,
bye-bye.
Yes.